have it here, and just in case you can't see, I imagine you can see the first several pews from your vantage point, but the auditorium's empty except for Brother Dan and Miss Carmen, and then the good folks upstairs taking care of our sound and video, and we're so thankful that they are. Otherwise, we wouldn't be able to meet together tonight, but we're so glad that you have. I am fresh on the heels of watching some services online my own self, and so for those that do it on a regular basis, and you wonder, well, I wonder if they know what we go through. Well, I do a little bit more now because I've been living that way for the last several services. And so thank God for the technology to communicate back and forth and to be able to watch the services. But we long for the time when you can be with us. And to those of our shut-ins that watch so faithfully, thank you so much for joining us regularly as you do. I want you to look in your Bibles, if you would, to 2 Timothy chapter number 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And I thought about going different directions this evening. Of course, here we are at the beginning of December. And just a few weeks now until Christmas. I thought about teaching a Christmas lesson. And we'll do some of that, of course, in the coming weeks. But tonight, I don't want you to think I've gotten morbid on you or anything like that, but I want to talk about Paul and his dying testimony here, not because I'm afraid that we're getting close there, although we ought to always live ready to go. And I believe that's what we see in the Apostle Paul here as he lived his life for the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're going to look at 2 Timothy chapter number 3, and I'm going to get most of the message from a lesson from chapter number 3, verse number 10, but then we're going to look at 10 down to 17 and then look over a little bit in chapter number 4. So I just challenge you, if you're able to settle in there, get your Bible out, look into it. We'll do this Bible study. I trust that it'll be a great blessing to you. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10. But thou hast known fully my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me in Antioch and Iconium and Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. There's going to talk about this coming apostasy that's coming our way, and yea, is even here. But continue, verse 14, thou and the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures. Now speaking some personal words here to young Timothy. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And then it gives us our bedrock of what to stand on. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. You say, well, why is these verses in here now? Because of verse number 12 and because of verse number 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. But remember that we stand upon verse number 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So we want to look at this passage here, and I'm going to take you in just a moment to a couple of verses in the next chapter, but looking at Paul's testimony, he was ready to go. You say, how do you know? Well, look in verse number 6 of chapter 4. I'm now ready to be offered. And the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them that also that love his appearing. So I want to look back in verse number 10 and just see the way that the Apostle Paul lived. So what we're going to do tonight is just pick it apart to see he was ready, verse number 6, 7, and 8 in chapter 4. He was ready to go. I'm ready to be offered. But before he got to that point, he already had explained and described his manner of life. And we'll get into it, and I trust it'll be a blessing to you. Let's start in verse number 10. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Lord, we've got a few moments here, and I trust that you would just help us as we gather together, your church. And Lord, as far as I know, I'm healthy. Thank you for it. But Lord, we ought to always live ready to go because we don't know when our time will come. And Lord, I pray that our lifestyle could be that of which the Apostle Paul described his lifestyle, his manner of life, his purpose, his faith, his long-suffering. May we be able to say some of these things as well, because we've determined to live for you in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's look at it like this way. Number one, I see, we're going to look at what he believed. If you were here this evening, I'd have a handout for you. You can fill in some blanks here. But look at verse number 10. We're looking at what he believed. But thou hast fully known my doctrine. Doctrine is just simply the teaching. That's literally what it means, teaching. When you talk about Bible doctrine, you're talking about Bible teaching. And the apostle says here, but thou, he's talking to specifically to Timothy, but then all scripture is given by inspiration. It's profitable for all of us, as the Bible says. So henceforth, it's given to all of the rest of it we can read. But he's speaking to Timothy here. He says, you've known my doctrine. And he was very plain about it. If you've got your Bible open, look back at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The apostle used of God here to write to the church of Corinth. He says, for I've delivered unto you, this is verse number 3 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I've delivered unto you first of all that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. So the Apostle Paul was very blatant, and I'm determined once again through all of the ordeal that our church and our nation's been going through, I'm determined once again that we need to be more plain in our doctrine. Meaning we need to know what we believe, we need to stand on the Word of God, and we need to do it unashamedly. Now when I say unashamedly, I don't mean unkindly. The message has always been that Jesus saves. The message has always been that Jesus wants everybody to be saved. We don't have to be hateful because it's not a hateful speech. We don't have to be unkind because it's not unkind. It's the kindest thing that anybody could say to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. But we see the Apostle Paul in his doctrine, we see what he believed. My dad had told me here, last Christmas, I suppose it was, or maybe a little bit before that, but about that time. So, John, I'm getting too old to not just be really plain spoken. I'm just going to tell people what I think. And I thought my dad had been doing that for years already because he's pretty plain spoken. But what he was specifically was talking about was the gospel. Meaning that Dad's 81 this last month, turned 81. And so meaning that he knows he doesn't have a whole lot of time, he doesn't have as much time left on this earth as he's already spent, so he says, I got to get the gospel to some people. And he'd be plain spoken. And so you look at verse number 10, and it says, you've known my doctrine. We see what he believed. But I see not only what he believed, now we see also, though, how he lived. He says, not only have you seen my doctrine, you've seen my manner of life. I wonder what people would think about you, or I wonder what people would think about me, my manner of life. I've been very convicted lately. I've been having lots of time to think. I've been quarantined. I've been isolated. I've been shut off from everybody and everything, and my family and the church and everyone. I've been thinking a lot. And what if it was our last day on earth? What would people remember about us? The Apostle Paul tells young Timothy, he says, you not only know my doctrine, what I believe, you know what how I feel, what I believe. I believe those things that I've received from others and I teach them to you. But now you also know my manner of life. That's the way the Scripture puts it. He says, you know everything about me. If you got your Bible open still there, look at 1 Timothy chapter number 1. There wasn't much that the Apostle hadn't told Timothy. And he put it on the whole display for the whole world to see. Verse number 12 of 1 Timothy 1. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me, that he put me in, found me faithful, putting me in the ministry. Look at verse number 13. Paul tells who he was. I was a blasphemer. I was a persecutor. I was injurious. But I obtained mercy. I did it ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love. And so I'm saying his life was on display. He told Timothy, you knew who I was. You knew I told you who I was before I got saved. I was a persecutor. I was a blasphemer. I was hating God and hating His church. And I did all I could. I counted it as a great privilege to persecute the church. But then God saved me. And so his manner of life was on display here. And I think about not only the manner of life of what we do, but then how we do it. So we see the doctrine that he had. And then the manner of life, how he lived. But then I want you to see, if we just continue on down through the verse, not only see the doctrine, the manner of life of how he lived, but then look at the next word, church, then his purpose. Boy, that got me this week. Paul talks about his purpose. He had a job to do. And I wonder if my job is going to get done by the time I hope to live a long time. I'm ready to go up at any time when the rapture happens, but if it's not through the rapture, I don't want to go. I want to wait for Jesus to get back. But I want to live like Paul said he was living in verse number 6 of chapter 4. I'm ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I hope it's not at hand. I mean, it can't be long. I'm 47 years old. And if I don't go up until I'm 97, that's still not a long time. I live this way, though, in verse number 6 of chapter 4, ready to be offered. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. That's what his purpose was. It says not only the doctrine, but manner of life and his purpose. He completed the job that he gave. Before he got out of here, though, he gave Timothy the same marching orders. Look in chapter 4, verse number 2. Not only do we see before he says, I'm ready to be offered, look what he tells the young preacher boy. Preach the word. He said, that's what I did. That's what you ought to do. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. You say, Brother John, I'm not a preacher. That doesn't matter whether you're a preacher as far as called to be a pastor or staff, pastoral staff or missionary. That doesn't matter. We all ought to be preachers of the word. We ought to be sharers. Preacher just means proclaimer. We ought to be that one that shares the gospel. We ought to be that one that gets it out. And Timothy is told by the apostle, preach the word. I believe that's why he was here. Back up to verse number 10. He says, your manner of life. Yes, that was involved in his manner of life, but that was involved in his purpose. Listen, folks, I want us to get reignited one more time why we're here. What are we doing? We're not here just to celebrate and have a good time and enjoy each other's company, and I'm thankful for all that, but that's fringe benefits of being saved. We get to enjoy the fellowship of other Christians, and that's wonderful. That's a part of what a church gets to do, but that's not why we're here. Paul said his purpose, and I believe our purpose is to get the gospel out. Again, you say, well, Brother John, I'm not a preacher. You don't have to be a preacher in the traditional sense. I'm not a missionary. You don't have to be in the traditional sense. We ought to all be that one that has purpose, though. Paul had it. He made sure Timothy had it. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. For those of you who are thinking, yeah, but 2020, they don't like to hear the word. They don't like to hear what we have to say. Look at verse number 3 after he told him, preach the word. Get busy about what you're supposed to be doing just in case we think, oh, now we've got an exemption because people don't want to hear. Look at verse number 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall heap themselves teachers having itching ears. But you understand that just because the prediction is made that there'll be a time when people don't want to listen. Paul doesn't say, listen, preach so they don't want to listen, then quit preaching after that. He just says, keep preaching, even though we know that the time will come they won't want to listen. And that'll happen individually with people. That'll happen with the whole group. But we still are commanded to preach the word, and that's our purpose. So not only to see what he believed, that was his doctrine. We're just going to tear this verse apart. His manner of life, that's how he lived. But then his purpose, why he was there. But then I want you to see after purpose why he continued. He got his marching orders from Jesus. I've received of that which, first of all, I've given to you that which I've received, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 back there. But now you see, why did he keep on going? After his purpose, he knows why he's there. Well, he's got faith, long-suffering, charity. We see why he continued. He continued because that purpose, it involved faith. He was able to continue. That's why we get to chapter 4, verse number 7. I've fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Now, if we were a class, I could ask you, well, was it Paul's faith to keep? Well, the Lord does the keeping of the faith. He's got it shored up. But Paul did his part to proclaim, preach, live out, and continue in the faith. And that's what we're supposed to do as Christians. When people say, keep the faith, it doesn't mean like, well, I've got it. If I drop it, then it's all lost from here. God can keep it with or without me. We keep it not for his benefit, but for our benefit. Keep the faith. Keep on going. Oh, I love to see it. One of the joys that we've had since we've been here is over the summer, we were able to mail out certificates and give them here if people were here in services, but give out certificates to those that have been members of Buffalo Ridge for 50 years. And we had a good many people who were almost at 50 years. They just kept on being faithful. Keep the faith. Why he continued. Why he continued and kept on because of his purpose, but then also because of his faith. Well, when you believe something, and when it's so deep down in you that you've got to continue on, even when hell itself is trying to stop you, then you are one that's keeping the faith. But I see not only do we see that purpose in faith, but then I see how he continued. I see why he continued because of the faith, but what God gifted him with to continue. Actually, how did he get it done? Look, if you will, at the last few words of the verse. Long-suffering, charity, which means love, and patience. Why are all those things important in verse number 10? The reason they're important in verse number 10 is because verse number 11 is following close behind it. He had to get it straight that I'm going to be long-suffering, I'm going to have faith, I'm going to have patience, I'm going to have charity. Why? Because persecutions are coming. Afflictions are coming. Because those things came to me in Antioch, in Iconium, in Lystra, those persecutions, I endured them. Why? Because the Lord delivered me out of them all. The end of verse number 7, or 11 rather, the end of verse number 11 says that I endured them, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Well, he used the end of verse number 10 to deliver him out of what's at the end of verse number 11, all those persecutions, the Lord delivered me. And one of the things that the Lord used to deliver him out of those persecutions was long-suffering, charity, and patience. Don't you just love it when somebody sticks with it? And that's what the Apostle Paul did. Long-suffering just means forbearance or fortitude, strengthening, long-suffering. I heard of a teacher that walked into a classroom one time and held up a glass of water similar to this and asked the class how long somebody could hold that. Well, when they first held it up, the students all thought that it was about half full, unlike this one. And they thought that the teacher was going to give that old story about, is it half full, is it half empty, are you an optimist or you're a pessimist? But the teacher went a completely different way with the half full cup of water. And the teacher asked about how much the students thought that it weighed, and they threw out a few numbers, but it really was immaterial. And she asked how much it weighed. And she said, how long do you think I could hold that up there? And they gave some answers. She went on to say, you know, if I could hold that up here for 30 seconds with no problem. And she said, I could hold that up here in the air, in the middle of the air, for a minute with very little problem. She said, I could do it for 3 and 4 and 5 minutes and would do no problem. She said, maybe if I was really determined, this half full glass of water, I could hold it for a half an hour. She said, but sometime there, after a while, my arm would get so tired, even though that is no problem whatsoever for me to hold up, after a while would get to such a problem that I would have to set it down. And she said, if you think that's not true after an hour or two or three, then you say a whole 8-hour shift, you'd hold that there, a 10-hour shift, and there's just certainly no way you could do it. See, things that don't get us wore down in the beginning, in the short term, will wreak havoc on us in the long term. And it may be that somebody you're watching tonight and sickness has come upon you, or trouble, or family issues, or disappointments, or whatever it may be. And for those first few days, you thought, I can do this. You just straightened your back up and said, I'm going to go forward. And then day 3 and 4, you said, you readjust. You said, okay, it's tough, but I'm going to keep on doing it. Week number 5 came. He said, boy, this is harder than I ever thought it would be. This sickness, I thought it'd be gone by now. I thought the doctors would find opposite findings of what they did find. I didn't think that they would find what they said possibly would come. And then 2 months come, and some of you for years now, you've been battling with something. And as that teacher held that half a cup of water, for 2 minutes it was easy, but for 2 hours, rather impossible. 2 days, not even close. And those things that weren't going to get you in the first week or two or three, now it's been dragging on for sickness for years, and doctors still can't figure out what it is that's wrong. You're about like that teacher would have been if she'd have tried to hold that up for 3 days straight. What didn't get you in the short term gets you in the long term. My friend, I'm challenging you at the end of this verse, as he says, the long-suffering, the charity, the patience. Can I give you this? 1 Corinthians, if I'd have given you a handout, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 13, I'd have given you this as a little Bible nugget to take home with you, but you're already home. I'll give it to you there. When you get there, you're going to know, oh, I already knew that. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 13. But it's such a good Bible promise, I want to give it to you right here. 1 Corinthians 10, 13, there is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. Colon. Stop right there for a little bit and then go on to the next phrase. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able to bear, or able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Can I just tell you, as I'm challenging you to be long-suffering, challenge you to be patient, that word patient literally means cheerful endurance. Means putting a smile on when you don't feel like it and enduring whatever God's allowed come your way. The Apostle Paul lived a life riddled with all kinds of problems. But he still said, I've kept my faith, I've kept the faith, I've finished my course. What did God gift the apostle to cope with? He gave him long-suffering, charity, and patience. That old story of the tortoise and the hare, we all know it well. Tortoise wins every time because he slowly and patiently just keeps on going toward the finish line. And I'm challenging my friend this evening. You may or may not be like the Apostle Paul, and I certainly don't think that I am. But we may not experience all the great victories he did, nor will we maybe experience all the great tragedies and great heartaches he did. But we can be like him in this way. We can continue to be long-suffering, have charity, have patience, and continue to go on, even if persecutions, afflictions, which came to him at Antioch, may come to us in Johnson City. But I endured out of them all, the Lord delivered me. And he makes a promise in verse number 12, lest you think we're going to get off the hook without any problems. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So the question is not if, but when things will happen. But the same scenario ought to play out with us as it did with him, that we continue in patience and long-suffering and charity. So this is Paul's dying testimony, if you want to put it that way, what he believed. And I believe it all hinges on that tonight. We ought to settle what we believe. We believe this book. That's what he's talking about, the doctrine. You've known the doctrine. Not only did we see his doctrine, but then we see how he lived, his manner of life. We see not only his manner of life, but then why he was there. He was there because he had a purpose. And my friend, we need to find that purpose. And then we see why he continued. He continued because he realized that his life was supposed to be for the faith and the spread of the gospel. And then we see what God gifted him to cope, and that's that long-suffering, patience, or charity. Faith and long-suffering, charity and patience. And I trust this evening that God would settle us on this idea that we too might live our life as verse number 6 of chapter 4. I bring it to you one last time. Not that we're hopefully ready to go unless the Lord is coming for us, but we ought to live being ready to be offered. We ought to say, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. I hope that we're not at the end, again, unless it's through the rapture. But I believe we ought to live ready to go up at any time and be like the Apostle Paul. I trust that God would strengthen us in that resolve tonight to constantly be keeping the faith. As somebody tells a brother as they see him or they're gone on, keep the faith, brother. May we as Christians keep the faith. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Lord, here's an aged saint of God that was ready to go up. And dear Lord, I'm speaking to some aged, some young, some in the middle. Lord, I'm not saying that we're ready to go because death is looming on any of us. But Lord, we don't have a whole lot of time. I believe all of us would agree to that. And I pray, dear Lord, that we would live in the way that the apostle laid out this evening, you laid out through him, inspired him to write. Pray that we'd live that way. And we'll thank you for it. As our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, in a little strange way for an invitation, but here it is. You're saved tonight. I challenge you to make some holy resolve to the Lord. Lord, I want to live that way. Lord, I want to live that way, knowing that my life is tied up in the faith, knowing that I have purpose, knowing what my manner of life, knowing what my doctrine, knowing what I believe is based upon the Word of God. And my Christian friend, I trust that tonight you'd promise the Lord, say, Lord, that I want to live that way. And if you're here tonight, you're listening tonight, rather, watching tonight, and you're not saved, you just gathered in on a Wednesday night Bible study, you're not saved, oh, I pray that you would call us here at the church and let us share with you the gospel message, which is this, that all of us are sinners. All of us deserve to be cast out separate from God for eternity because of our sin. But Jesus died for your sins and for mine, and that He longs for you to cry out to Him, turn to Him in faith, and ask Him to be your Savior. If you're unsaved tonight, I challenge you to do that. Bless us, Father, is our prayer. We'll thank you for the good time we've had to enjoy together. Bless in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for joining with us. I do want to give you a few announcements while we're still here live streaming with you. Again, I want to thank you for your prayers, for your support, for your encouragement to me while I was sick. And I want to encourage you to do the same for others. If you hear of others that are sick, then may you still have that same Christian concern and care for them.